نحمده على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا، welcome back to our quick lesson with the Usul al-Shashi. So in the previous lessons, just to remind ourselves before we dive in, it's always nice having a quiet a reminder. We are talking about the discussion around coined words. Okay, if you remember, when you have a word, you have to ask yourself first, does it have one meaning? If there's one meaning, let's put one meaning for short for now. If there's one meaning, then you go this way. And if it's unique to it, if it's unique, it's got that unique here. If it has unique meaning to an individual concept, then that would be khas, which is what we've discussed at length in the previous lesson. If it's not unique and it has, it's not unique at all, then you come this way and that will become am. Of course, we've talked about these two in quite a lot of detail in the previous lesson. But what if you have a word that doesn't have one meaning? This is what we're going to cover today. So if it doesn't have one meaning, so let's put yes here and no there. What if it doesn't have one meaning? Now, what happens is, imagine you have a word and that word has many meanings. So when I say, for example, let's take an English word. If I say I, now that can be understood as a physical I. It can also be understood as the center of something or the essence of something, for example. So if you can have many meanings, can you prefer one? Okay, can you prefer one? If you can, right? That will go that way. If it's not, you can't prefer one word, right? Then that's called mushtarak. So mushtarak is a word where it has many meanings. One word has many meanings. If you can give it one, then that's called mu'awwal. So we'll cover mu'awwal today, inshallah, ta'ala as well. And what usually happens is you'll have a number of meanings under this word. If you pick one, that becomes mu'awwal. So in many ways, what happens is mushtarak moves to mu'awwal, because one word can have many, many meanings. But when you choose one, when you settle upon one, that will become the mu'awwal. So usually mu'awwal is preceded by mushtarak, but not always. Sometimes you'll have a word that has many meanings and you prefer one straight away for reasons that we're going to look at, inshallah ta'ala. That's what I want to begin with in today's lesson. So I'm just giving you a quick overview of that. My daughter's been drawing. Okay, so let's move on to today's lesson, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So in today's lesson, we're going to be looking at what's called al-mushtarak, which I've already sort of introduced. Okay. And mushtarak, you can translate it into homonym, a word that has more than one meaning. And then you have, once you've decided which one it is, you have what's called al-mu'awwal, the shadda, al-mu'awwal. And you can call it diverted. Because what happens is, you'll have a number of words, so you've got a choice. You pick one, that will become mu'awwal, okay? Once you're able to do that. So they're both related. They're not separate. And I want to also stress the fact that we've done khas and am, and there'll be khas and am here. So when we do khas, am, mu'awwal, mushtarak, when we do all these different types, they're not in silos. They're not separate from each other. Okay, so we're still doing coinage. And in the book Usul al-Shashi, you're giving a definition of mushtarak, and it will cover three examples that are related to mushtarak. So I'll just put three here, so you know we're going to go through three examples that, you know, highlight different aspects of how mushtarak operates. And then there'll be a contended case and how the fuqaha, the jurists, explicate that. And then what we'll have is we'll have mu'awwal, its ruling. We'll have some examples as well. And then it concludes at the end with a type of mushtarak that becomes al-mufassir as well. So this is what I was saying before. So you'll have mushtarak, But before we understand al-mushtaraka, this movement to al-mu'awwal, we have to first understand mushtara. Now, the fuqaha, they do give a, the Judists do give a definition for the word mushtarak. And in the books, they'll say something like, ma wudi'a li ma'nayayni mukhtalifayni aw li'am aw li ma'ani mukhtalifat al-haqqaiq. So they have two things. Either the word has meanings, two or more meanings, okay, two or more meanings, or it'll have two or more realities. Really important. Just remember that two or more meanings or two or more realities. That's kind of definition that you're looking at when it comes to mushtarak. And the word mushtarak, just for you, those of you who might not have it, obviously comes from the word shirk, which means partners. Yeah. If you think about it, partners or partnership. Just to give you a little bit of Arabic, I'm going to separate out because it's not directly relevant. Okay. So mushtarak is a term that's applicable to a word, and a word has a coined or is designated the meaning. But when it has two or more meanings or two or separate occasions, it can change. So for example, just to give you like a really rudimentary example, let's do a little timeline going this way. Let's do it this way. So at some point in the past, a word had a certain meaning. It meant X, and over time that same word now means something else. So the word is the same, but its meaning is different. So word is same, but the meaning has changed over time. Right? Things happen. Words change over time. What words mean can change over time. So what the author does is he gives us some examples to understand this, just to make it very, very clear. So let's pick an example just to show you how that happens. So, in Arabic, we have this word, jariyatun. Okay, this will be the first example. So, we're just starting with some really basic examples to get a feel of how this works. Now, the word jariya, in one context, means slave girl. Jariya, in one context, means slave girl. But in a different context, depending on how it's used, it means boat. Just to give an example. So first, it might have been used for a slave girl, and over time, it might be used for a ship. Okay. So we need to understand that one word can have many, many meanings. Let me give you another example. You have another word in Arabic. Example number two, which is this word al-mushtari. Al-mushtari, one of the meanings for al-mushtari is the purchaser. Purchaser. Ishtara, to buy something, is the purchaser. Should be purchased. But the word mushtari can also is also the name for the planet Jupiter. They're both referred to with this one word. Now, the skill here is that the rule in fiqh is that if you pick any one of these two, the other one becomes cancelled. If I pick that one becomes cancelled. If I was to say that al-mushtari means Jupiter, then it can't mean that. So when you pick one, the other one automatically is no longer relevant. Okay, but right now, we're not doing that. I'm just telling you that's how it's going to work in a few seconds. Let's just do one more example just to make it absolutely clear. So in Arabic, you have another word, which is ba'in. Ba'in. Okay, ba'in. And the word ba'in in Arabic means a separation of two things. Separation of two things. Or it could mean something that is clear. Clear and apparent, if you like. Okay. when you pick one, so if you were to pick that, if you're going to say, well, we're going to say that the word ba'in means clear and apparent, then the meaning of separation of two things no longer applies. So these are just really basic examples in everyday language, in Arabic, where a word can have two or even more meanings. Now, what's the hukum? What's the ruling, right, which is really important for us? So the hukum is this, that when you determine one, when you determine one meaning, which I'll show you for examples how we do that sometimes, right? The others cease. So you can't use those meaning anymore. That's the hukum of it. Very, very easy. Very, very straightforward. Insha'Allah ta'ala. So when a word is identified as being mushtarak and having many meanings, sometimes they are very different to each other. So sometimes you can find a common denominator, but it's very rare that you can find a common denominator. If you look at these words here, all three examples, a slave girl is completely different to a boat. A planet, Jupiter, is completely different to buying. Buying, separation of two things, has some relationship between clear and apparent. Let's give that one. But sometimes there are examples in the first two in particular that they are just completely independent of each other. So by necessity, when a mushtarak word is used in one instance and you can't use it in the same instance, in the second example or the third example simultaneously, you've got a problem here. So what you need to do is you have a scholar, an alim or an alima, and he will reflect and he will look at the word in the Quran or in the hadith, and he will try and work out what that word means in that particular instance. If he looks at all the indicators, he looks at all the evidence, one becomes clear, then the other meanings are irrelevant and void. Yeah, like he just said, the other meanings become void, irrelevant. Okay. In terms of Hanafi usul, what the fuqaha don't do is they don't try and find a common understanding that unifies all the meanings. Okay. So they just leave it as independent. So the other meanings, when you choose one over the other meanings become redundant. We've done some of these examples already, but we never discussed it in terms of mushtarak and mu'awwal. So let's look at some examples. For example, now we've done this example already, so I'm not producing the verse in the Quran, but in Surah Baqarah, if you remember, Surah Baqarah, verse number 228. So this is in the previous videos, but we discussed it, of course, in the context of khas and am. Now, in that verse, in Surah Baqarah, you had the word quru. Yeah? So if you remember, we looked at the word quru. Salasata quru. If you remember, we did that in the previous examples. So that's a quru. Okay. Now, in that verse, this word is mushtarak, if you remember. Why is it mushtarak? If you remember, and even if you don't remember, I'll explain it now. This word is mushtarak. Why is it mushtarak? Well, we had this famous discussion between the Hanafis, H for Hanafis, and S for the Shafis. And there was a debate that took place. The Hanafis, of course, settled on the meaning of haiz. Hanafis, haiz. Yeah. And the Shafi'is settle on the meaning of tuhur. So when a woman is divorced, she has to have three periods. Periods of what? Periods of haiz, menses, or periods of tuhur, purity. And we looked into details. So if you want to know why we came to those conclusions, then you should check those videos that we've already discussed before. So once you've decided which one, the other one ultimately cancels. So for the Hanafis, because of the way we debated and we reasoned this, we've picked this one. That means that this one no longer applies. Otherwise, you have two simultaneous meanings, and there's no way to reconcile them. There's no way to apply them in a way that both work, and you stick with his. Okay? You've taken one meaning and you stick with that. Let me give you another example just to make it really, really clear. So there's a famous discussion by Imam Muhammad. Imam Muhammad, as you know, is the student of Imam Abu Hanifa. Let's give you an example. We're doing some really basic examples right now. So there's a word in Arabic, and the word worth you learning is the word mawali. Okay, the word mawali. Mawali. Mawali has two meanings. Okay. You can use it. So it's a mushtarak. Let's just write mushtarak so we're clear. This is a word that comes out as mushtarak. And it can either mean one of two things. It can mean the one who is free, the freed slave. But on the other side, it can also be the one who frees a slave. In other words, I guess you want to think of it as a master. Completely different. You know, it's completely different being a master of a slave and completely different being a freed slave. So these two words have two independent meanings. So Imam Muhammad says, well, you've got to pick one. Okay. Now, this really is important because if you think about fiqh. If we don't get our words right and we don't know what we mean, we're going to cause confusion. So Imam Muhammad says, for example, if a person says that they're going to bequest some of their wealth. So a man here, he says, well, when I die, I want my wealth, $, I want my wealth to go to my mawali. Okay. Give him, I don't know, $1,000 of my wealth when I die. Give my mawali. He's not mentioned who the mawali is. He's kept it just mawali. Okay. And give the mawali $1,000 of my wealth. And then he passes away without giving any further explanation. So I'm just going to write here, no further explanation. So he just said, just go to my mawali when I die. There's no further explanation. There's no indication of preference. And this is going to be really, really important. There's no indication. He's left nothing behind. He's not written anything else. He's not been recorded as saying what he means by mawali, the freed slave, or the one who frees a slave. There's nothing there that can help us. Yeah. And, you know, both parties could say, well, I deserve the $1,000. Yeah. Because they could all give different reasons how they should be given or as to why they should be given one. Really. So nothing seems to be conclusive. Imam Muhammad says, therefore, it's void. This bequest that he made, this person, when he said, give it to my mawali, because he never explained it any further, he didn't give any indication of preference, the entire thing is void. Okay? Because you have two mawali here who are completely independent of each other. And there's no way that you can give preference to one over the other. And the fact that we've made it void, this also tells you that a mushtara cannot have a common meaning, but will take one of its meaning every single instance. Okay, so that's a good example from Imam Muhammad, a practical example. Let me give you another example from Imam Abu Hanifa. So the second example of Abu Hanifa was used to further ingrain the idea of mushtarak, not having this idea of common meanings and inclusive, to be inclusive, all its meaning. You can't have that. Okay? So if you remember in one of the lessons, we looked at the example. I'm just going to put Abu Hanifa here. He says, Allah be pleased with him. He says, if someone says to his wife, you are like my mother. Somebody says to his wife, you're like my mother. Okay. And he has no intention of zihar. We talked about zihar before. He has no intention of zihar. Zihar, if you remember, is a practice, a pre-Islamic practice, where somebody would compare his wife to his mom. And in this case, a separation will occur until expiation is made. We talked about this already in previous lessons. Okay. So someone says to his mother, someone says to his wife, you are like my mother, but there's no intention of zihar. So he's not making this intention. There was no intention. Like Imam Abu Hanifa says, nothing happens. Nothing happens. The question is why? This all goes back to basic usul. Okay? Because when you say to someone, you are as my mother, or you are like my mother, it could have two meanings. Even more, perhaps, if you wanted to. It could mean that you're like my mother in a nice way. That's just expressed as a form of honor, right? Or it could mean that I'm making you haram upon me. Could have more than two, but we're just sticking with these two examples for now. Okay, so in the first case, of course, there's nothing wrong. In the second case, if you intended it, it would mean zihar. Okay. So in the first case, it would not be zihar. In the second case, it would. But until the intention is not known, neither meaning can be conclusively preferred. So without an intention, the statement is void. And of course, if there was an intention, if it was an intention, then they would take the appropriate meaning. So these are just examples that you can really, you know, understand how it works. Let's move on to some more examples. And these examples get a little bit more interesting as you move on. So just to re-emphasize, the meanings of a mushtara cannot be combined, and the ruling is that once you've preferred one, it immediately cancels out the other one. So let me give you another example, just to really show you how it works. And by the way, when you're reading fiqh, you should be thinking like this. You should be getting used to thinking like this. So, that if you're going for hajj, and you're in the state of an ihram, you're in ihram. Of course, as you know, in ihram, you can't kill an animal. Okay? So you kill an animal. But say you kill an animal, you throw a stone, and you end up killing a creature that you should not have been killing. Right? The Hanafis say that it does no need for compensation. No need for compensation. In what sense? That's a question here. Okay. For it by equivalent animal. You don't have to get exact same animal, same type of animal that you've killed. So if you kill a goat, you don't have to get a goat, for example. The details basically is that when you're in ihram, hunting prey is forbidden in the state of ihram, because Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la taqtulus sayda wa antum hurum. Chapter Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 95, that when you're, do not kill game while you are in pilgrim. So Allah has given us that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same verse, وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ مِنْكُمْ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاءُ مِثْلِ. This word is where we have the debate. Mithl. This word is everything where it comes down to. So Allah says that if you do kill an animal intentionally, then the compensation is an animal equivalent. Look at this example. Very, very interesting. It's a conceptual one, this one. So, equivalent. Okay. You have to give a compensation for the one that's equivalent. So you have to offer some. You have to offer something that's equivalent. But this word is mushtarak. How is this word mushtarak, my friends? Well, if you think about it for a second, it could mean that it has to be equivalent in appearance, or it could be equivalence in terms of implied. Let me give you more detail on that just to make it clear. So for example, in appearance might be like equal size or weight or something like this. So you kill a goat, the one you killed weighed X amount of kilograms, you need to get animal, you need to get a goat that weighs roughly the same, and you need compensation for that. Okay. And this is called mislusuri, by the way. So the technical term is mislusuri. Alif lam suri. In appearance, it's the same. But implied means a monetary value. So how much would the animal cost? What's the value of the animal? And this is called misl ma'nawi. Ma'nawi. Okay. So you have a question here. Which one are you going to prefer? Allah says in the Quran that if you kill an animal while you're in ihram, then you must give compensation for something that's misl. Is it misl in terms of like an animal that's of the same type? Or is it something that you can give that's of that value? Okay. So some ulama, some scholars say that when you can find an equivalent for the hunted animal, then you must get an animal that's equivalent in appearance. So if you kill a deer and you can find a deer, you must sacrifice a deer. Some ulama say, if you can't find an equivalent in terms of its surah, in terms of its appearance, then you can, for example, if you kill a pigeon, then you can give money instead. So how much would a pigeon be worth, for example? Imam Abu Hanifa in Imam Abu Yusuf. I'll just put them here. Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and Imam Abu Yusuf. They say that whether there's an animal equivalent in appearance or not, you can give ma'nawi. It doesn't matter. Whether you find the same pigeon or not, you can just give the money's worth of it. So there's no option of a misli suri. This is because the Quran has used the word misl, and this word is mushtarak, as we've seen, between these two words. Is it misli suri, appearance or weight? Is it or misli ma'nawi in terms of implied meaning? But we've picked one. If we pick ma'nawi, right, that option to then say, well, you know what, you can give appearance if you want to, or you can give ma'nawi. You can't do that. Because of the principle that we identified before, once you settle upon one, the other one cancels out. This is the usul of the Hanafi madhab. At least as Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Yusuf, Abu Yusuf had explained it here. So this is really important. Remember this principle, my friends. Once you pick one in mushtarak, you've done mu'awwal. You've given preference to one over another one. The one that you've given preference over is no longer going to be applied. Okay? So this is what the meaning of the verse is. In other words, if you kill an animal, you need to give compensation by equivalent meaning, wealth-wise, money-wise, of that animal. Okay? Now, just to add, if you were to say that sometimes misli ma'nawi, and sometimes you can use misli suri, what you've basically done is you've created a problem for yourself. Because what you've done is you've umum, it's called umumul mushtarak. Yeah? You basically said it includes all the different meanings. You have a problem then. This is like quite a mundane example. But for example, if you think about the idea in what we talked about when it comes to Hayz and Tahara, you're basically saying, well, it doesn't matter which one. That's problematic. If you're saying to a woman who's been divorced that you can wait for three menses and you can wait for three period of purity, you create problems for yourself. So you have to pick one and the other one cancels out. So you can't do that. This is the usul here, okay? And when you can't have both meanings and you've preferred one, right, then you take the preferred meaning. So in this case, Misli Sudi is abandoned and Misli Ma'nawi is the one that we take. Simple as that. Alhamdulillah. Let's look at another example just to give you really good clarity, inshallah ta'ala. So we've established the definition, we've done rulings of mushtarak, we've given examples of mushtarak. And when we have evidence or signs or indication that single out one meaning and that's the prevalent meaning in that particular context, yeah, and we've picked one out. So remember what we said before, you have mushtarak. You've gone through the labor, you worked out which one it is, you said it's Tahara, or you said it's Hayz, or you said it's a Misli Ma'nawi, whichever one. Once you preferred one, it becomes mu'awwal. So like in this case, example here, that we just did now. Once you've done this, this will become the mu'awwal, because you preferred that one. That's essentially what mu'awwal is. So mushtarak is when you go through a process of trying to work out which one. Once you picked one and the other one is cancelled out, then it becomes mu'awwal. That's all mu'awwal really, really means. Yeah, so that's why we call it diverted, because you've diverted it. Diverted expression. You've diverted it to the one that you've chosen. Okay? So al-mu'awwal, as they say in Arabic, al-mushtarak alladhi turajjihu ba'da wujuhi bi ghalib al-ra'y. Now it's really important when you engage in this process. Let me draw a diagram here. When you think about it, you've gone through a process, you move from one place to another. Because you've done that, it's based on, and there's other possibilities, because a word could have meant this one, could have meant this one, could have meant this one, and you pick this one and you made it. These possibilities still remain. The reason you come to that one is some sort of dominant opinion, right? Whatever it may be, ijtihad or whatever. And because you've done that, think about Amin Khas. Because you've done that, there's a little bit more ambiguity in this space from reaching to mushtarak mu'awwal. Yeah. So you act upon it, but there's a possibility of an error. So wujubul amal, you must act. You've done the action, you've done the effort, but there's a possibility of error. That's why any expression or any legal ruling that comes through mu'awwal is not going to be as strong as something that we come through, for example, through am or khas that we've done before. So remember how these work. Remember, all of this is also going to be tied to epistemology. You're not going to be as sure because you've gone through, there's been some human or contextual indications, you've had to pick one from a menu of choices. Okay? So you act upon it and you act upon the preferred meaning because it's the most befitting one according to your ijtihad. But because this interpretation is still open to error, that basically means that despite you've gone through this and strong evidence pointing to a correct outcome, there is still a possibility, no matter how remote, that you might have reached the wrong meaning. Okay, one scholar might have missed something, or he might have got something wrong. Another scholar comes around and corrects it later on. But if there's no evidence to the contrary, then you must act upon it. Let me give an example. Say, for example, brother here sells something to brother here, okay? And he says, I'm going to sell you my phone. I'm going to sell you my phone. And I'm selling it for five. He just says five. Five what? Right? £5, $5. Going to be dollars, going to be pounds. What's it going to be? Yeah. Now you look at the context. Where were they sitting? They were sitting in the UK. So therefore, it's going to be pounds. Can you see? What you've done there is you've had five. This is it's a really neat little example. You have five. It's mushtara. £5, $5, €5, what is it? What you've done then is you said, well, from there, we're going to pick pounds. So this word was mushtarak. By you moving, you made it mu'awwal. So the pound has become mu'awwal. Okay. That's what's important. Okay. But say you were in a place, some country, and you sold a phone, and there are multiple currencies. There's a pound that works there, people doing dollars, people doing euros, people doing dirhams, right? And there's no way for you to work out which five is it. You just can't tell. Yeah? The transaction, therefore, will be void. So we want the transaction to happen. We want people to be happy. If this is going to lead to an argument between them, because there's mushtarak and you can't choose one over the other, then this is what you're going to do. Okay. I hope that's clear, inshallah. Let's do one neat example that we looked at before already. Okay, so you've done some previous examples before. So remember, we talked about Quru before, yeah? We've already talked about it. So let's just stick with the example. This is Surah Baqarah, verse 28. Now, we've obviously taken the word haze. As Hanafis, we've taken the word haze as the meaning. Okay, now remember in the verse, Allah says, Salatata Quru, 3 periods of haze. Okay. Which discussed this already, and this was in the chapter of Khas. So, if you want to look at that, because Khas, Allah has given you this free is Khas, there's no other way to understand it. Allah said 3 periods of his menses, okay. And obviously, this word here, menses, was mushtarak. On this side, we have this word that's mushtarak, and of course, we made it mu'awwal. Because we chose, as Hanafis, we chose menses. Right? Because it was menses or pure or menses. But by choosing one, we made it menses. So then that on one side, the same verse, you have a number of things going on. You have this being mu'awwal, and you have three, the number three being khas. Okay. So we've moved from khas, which we've done in the previous lessons. Now we've learned mushtarak, alhamdulillah, and how we move from mushtarak mu'awwal. Yeah. So we already did this example in the previous videos, but now you can see how khas, mushtarak mu'awwal work. Let me give an example. If you remember in the previous videos, in verse 230 of Surah Al-Baqarah, we had this word that comes, tankiha. Tankiha zawjan ghayra. Okay, and we took the preferred meaning of sexual intercourse. Okay, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says zawjan, hatta tankiha zawjan, and zawjan means husband. So, because this word can mean, this was mushta, it can mean sexual intercourse, or it can also mean marriage. And the reason is very simple for this. The reason we pick sexual intercourse is Allah says zawjan until you marry another husband. Why would Allah use the word for marriage twice? So clearly, for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring here to intercourse and here marriage. And because, like we said, when it comes to mushtarak, if you prefer one, right, then the other one becomes cancel. So this is called mu'awwal. So we've done mu'awwal here. We have two choices in this case, and we picked one. Yeah. That's how it works. Very, very easy, very, very straightforward. There are more detailed examples. Yes, I want to make one important point for you, inshallah. I'm just conscious of time, but let's do this. Might make it more clear, inshallah. Okay. Let me give you an example of divorce, actually. This is a good example. Let's do this one other example, just to really drive the point home. Now, mu'awwad can also come into lots of fiqhi considerations. So, divorce is under consideration, for example. So, sometimes you might use what's called a kinaya. I'll give you an example of that. The word for kinaya is, I always get this mixed up, metonymy. Okay. Basically, it means an indirect word. Okay. But it conveys the meaning of divorce. And this can also come into mu'awwal. So, for example, a husband and a wife, they're having a heated moment. Intense argument between them is taking place. And divorce is being discussed between them. And the husband uses the word ba'in. I remember at the beginning of the video, if you remember, ba'in can mean two things. Yeah. And this word either means clear or separated. You can see these two words are completely different. Something is clear or something's been separated. Okay? It's a mushtarak word between clear and separated. And because in the context, if we look at the context, look at the context. Remember I said about indicators. Look at the context. They're talking about divorce. They're having a fight. They're having an argument. Right? And you can, in this context, give it this meaning. Contextual indicators telling you that clearly they're having an argument. The context is telling you that he's uttered the word ba'in, which means separation, not mean clear. Okay? So what you've done there is you've had a mushtarak, just to re-emphasize. You've had either separate or clear. You've chosen one, and therefore it becomes mu'awwal. That's how it basically works. That's the basic reasoning of it. Okay. There's another example which I'm going to skip over because it's quite lengthy, and I think we've got the hang of it. There's one thing I just want to mention, really, really important. I've saved an important discussion right until the end. In the end, when it comes to mushtarak and mu'awwal, we're told that if one of the meanings of al mushtarak is preferred by the person who said it, the person who said it. So let's say a person says something, he's uttered some words. You must forgive my poor artistic skills. Okay, so he said it himself. And if one of the meanings of a mushtarak word is preferred by the person who said it, or the person who's articulated that word by explicit communication, that is the meaning, right? That is the meaning that's going to be accepted from them. So we don't need to, that will become not mu'awwal, but we'll actually call it mufassal from the word tafsir. Yeah. So we don't call it mu'awwal, because remember, mu'awwal, The whole reason we have mushtarak and mu'awwal is you started off with a place where a word had many meanings. You chose one and you done mu'awwal. Here you haven't done that. You haven't gone through this process. Yeah? This is why it's distinct. Mu'awwal and mufassal are two distinct categories. It's telling you the process by how you got to the answer. Really, really important. Okay. So a mufassal is distinct to mu'awwal. Because mu'awwal, you've had to interpret a preferred meaning, some sort of third-party indicator, evidence, whatever it may be. But in mufassal, the person who said it has already has told you himself what the meaning of his words are. Okay, this is why mu'awwal has still the possibility of error. Remember what I said before. could be many meanings. You picked one, but that could change. You might have got it wrong. Yeah. So that's why there's a possibility of error. Can you see it's a weaker form of reasoning here that you come up with? Okay. And this creates doubt. Okay. But when we have mufassir, the person's told you exactly what they mean. So there's certainty in there. I really want you to understand this distinction. If you watch this video twice, it'll come clear. Because we've been talking about mu'awwal, but I've just told you what mufassir is. Mufassir will come later on, inshallah, God, don't worry. But I'm just highlighting it here that mufassir is also part of the conversation when you have mu'awwal. So for example, let me give you an example. If someone says that I owe a person, for example, I owe someone 10 dirhams. I owe someone 10 dirhams of Bukhara. I just come back from Bukhara a few weeks ago. So someone says I owe 10 dirhams of Bukhara. It can only mean the dirham Bukhara and not any other currency. Yeah? There's no ambiguity here. We don't need to get into the discussion of, you know, what type of... If he just said, you know, I owe someone 10 dirham, then that's going to require... That's mushtarak. That requires some work. But he had just told you already. Okay. So there's no need for us to say, oh, you know, someone said that I owe someone 10 dirhams of Bukhara. But you know what? That conversation took place in England, so it must be pounds. You don't need to get into mushtarak and mu'awwal here, because the person who said it has made it mufassir, where it's very strong. It's stronger than mushtarak and mu'awwal. This is when you're debating or you're doing legal reasoning, legal arguments. You don't go down the mu'awwal and mushtarak route when you can just go straight to mufassir. Okay? So, this is clear. Alhamdulillah, we finished everything on the four that we began this series of lessons on. We're going to move on to the next one, inshallah ta'ala. But what I want you to remember is Aam. You should know how Aam works. You should know how Khas works. You should know how Mushtarak works. Forgive my handwriting. You should know how Mu'awwal works. And of course, we've just touched upon Mufassir a little bit as well. It'll come back later on, inshallah ta'ala. You don't have to worry about it. But you should know these three at least. And remember, we also talked about Mutlaq and Muqayyad. This is like a little diagram just to summarize what we've been doing. Yeah. So you have Aam. These are the strongest ones, of course. And this one is the strongest one as well, right, in terms of epistemic weight. So we've done Aam, Khas, with Khas, we've done Mutlaq and Muqayyad. The last lesson today, we looked at Mushtarak and Mu'awwal, and we've just briefly right at the end talked about Mufassir. Very, very easy. Just know the basics and you'll be on your way, inshallah. If anyone has any questions, they may ask. Okay, see you all next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.